بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 3rd of May in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we're beginning the 4th month we've completed the 13th week the 91st night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And the last thing I mentioned were the number of casualties during the tragic encounter at Siffin. And what seems reasonable is the figure of around 10,000 casualties. But of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this leads on to another often quoted question. Many thousands of Muslims lost their lives at Siffin. So how can this ever be justified? And the reason they ask this question is because there's a hadith. So the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if two Muslims compete with each other with the sword, then both the killer and the killed are to enter hell. I thereupon ask, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is undoubtedly the case of the killer, but what is the fault of the murdered? Why does he end up in hell? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because he intended to kill is four. So this is a flawless report recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, and it mentions Muslims. It doesn't mention non-Muslims, because if two Muslims fight with the sword, both of them, the one who's killed and the one who's the killer, they both go to hell. So what clarification was needed was the one who killed, obviously, understandably, he goes to hell. But what about the one who's killed? So the response from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his intention was to kill. So does this flawless hadith not condemn both parties? So it's an excellent question. So they say, look, according to your estimation, around 10,000 plus Muslims were killed. So in this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, it mentions that they should all be going to hell then. Because the one who was killed and the one who killed are both going to the fire, the Prophet said. Doesn't it condemn both parties? So here Imam Qurtubi, he clarified, rahmatullah alayh. So Imam Qurtubi in his Tadkhira, page 271-2 of the English translation, he stated, the scholars rahimuhumullah say that this warning is to be restricted to those who fight each other for the sake of the vanities of the world, according to a hadith reported by Al-Bazar. Fighting for the sake of supporting the deen or reformation is permissible. Take for example, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib fighting with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu for the sake of patronizing the truth over what is less than that. So here Imam Qurtubi, he gave the simple clarification. He goes, the Bukhari and Muslim hadith doesn't mention the full details. The hadith in Bazaar says that the Prophet was referring to those who are fighting for the world. So if Muslims are fighting, let's say, just for the sake of authority, for the sake of the world, then this grave threat the Prophet mentioned applies. If the Muslims are fighting for the sake of the deen or reformation, he goes, there's no problem with that. And then he mentioned, of course, the example here between Ali and Muawiyah, radiallahu anhuma. Shaykh Maududi, rahmatullah alayh, he gives a more detailed answer. So in his Tafsir, volume 13, page 94-5 of the English translation, he stated, the Muslims' duty is that if all their efforts at reconciliation between the two parties fail, they should find out as to who is in the right and who is aggressing. They should then join hands with the one who is in the right and fight the aggressor. As this fighting has been enjoined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obligatory, comes under jihad. It is not the fitna about which Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one standing is one better than the one moving, and the one sitting is better than the one standing, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Because this fitna implies the mutual fighting of Muslims, in which both parties fighting out of bigotry or for a false sense of honor and worldly possessions, and neither may be having the truth on its side. So stopping the quote. So what is the respected Shaykh saying, Rahmatullah Ali? He said that the Muslim's duty in case of a civil war is to find out who is in the right. And if you firmly believe one is on the right, you join their stance, you join them. And you fight the aggressor. And then he mentioned, this fighting is not in reference to the hadith where the Prophet said, the one standing is better than the one moving, etc., etc. He goes, that is the fitna which the Prophet was talking about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, because neither side have the truth. Then the Shaykh said, as for the fight that is undertaken in support of the group that is in the right against the aggressor, it is not taking part in the fitna, but carrying out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean? What did he mean when he said that if you take the side of the one who is right, you are not taking part in fitna? This is in reference to Surah Hujarat, Surah 49, verse 9. So if you look at that holy verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions that the believers are brothers, they should try to reconcile, and if not, you should be with the fight against the aggressors. Then Shaykh Maududi said, Rahmatullah Ali, all the jurists are agreed upon its obligation, and there is no difference of opinion amongst Rasulullah's companions about it being obligatory. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to Hafiz al-Jassas in his Ahkam al-Quran. Then the Shaykh said something very interesting. Some jurists, rahimahumullah, consider it superior to jihad against the unbelievers themselves. And their reasoning is that Sayyidina Ali spent the entire period of his Khilafat in fighting the rebels instead of primarily performing jihad against the unbelievers. SubhanAllah. Refer to Ruhul Ma'ani. So here Shaykh Maududi makes another valuable point, Rahmatullah Ali. He said some jurists, not all, they actually state that this type of, when you align with those who are right to fight against your brothers who are in the wrong, some jurists say this is greater than fighting the unbelievers. So think about that. How strange is that? Because, and the proof he gives is obvious, glaring. Sayyidina Ali, his entire Khilafat, or the vast portion of it, was fighting against the rebels. So you can either say he was wasting his precious energy, or you can say he was actually getting more reward engaging them on the battlefield than against the unbelievers. So either Ali knew what he was doing, or he didn't. Which one is it? So obviously he knew what he was doing. So look out, interesting. According to some scholars, that is a greater jihad. So now, why is these, you know, nuggets very important for us to understand? Because this is jihad. Most of us haven't even fired a bullet on the battlefield, let alone fighting against your Muslim brothers. But all of this at least needs to be, you know, understood to some degree, so we understand what's happening on the battlefield. So if a person says, they're all condemned, because the Prophet said, the one killed and the one who's killed, they both go to hell. The response is, that doesn't apply to this scenario, because they weren't fighting for the sake of dunya, which the Prophet explicitly said, that the threat is for them. Then he goes, no, but this is the fitna. The one standing is better than the one who's moving. You shouldn't get involved. Shaykh Maududi goes, this is not. That's again talking about fitna. This is acting upon a verse of the Quran. Right? So note again, you've got to be very careful when speaking about these matters. But unfortunately, people, you know, they let their tongues loose. In addition, how could Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, of all people, have taken matters unlawfully to the battlefield when he himself heard Rasulullah say the following, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is likely to forgive all sins of a man except in the case of the one who died a polytheist or the one who purposely kills a believer. This is recorded in Nasa'i, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad Sahih, Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih, Zahabi in his Kaba'ir, page 20 of the English translation. So think about this. You got a hadith. The Prophet said, Allah Ta'ala will forgive all sins except two. One is if you die in unbelief, which is nobody bats an eyelid. The second, the one who purposely kills a believer. Look how great that crime is. You deliberately, intentionally go out of the way to kill a believer. So then you ask the question, which Sahaba heard that from the Prophet? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the usual response, it doesn't matter, brother, they're all trustworthy. MashaAllah. But I want to know which Sahaba narrated it. He says, Sayyidina Muawiyah. Then you say, how on earth is it then possible that the one who heard this hadith from Rasulullah considered fighting against the official Khalif and spilling the blood of Muslims were all permissible for the sake of fleeting monarchy? Have you understood? He's narrated the hadith and how much blood on his hands. Somebody goes, thousands. Because he was the Amir, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So do you think he would have gone on to that path if this narration was condemning him, which he heard from the Prophet? Of course he wouldn't have taken that path. It means you misunderstood his stance as well. Was it not he, Hazrat Muawiyah, who said, radiallahu anhu, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not choose between two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that I choose Allah over the other. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is recorded by Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar 3-151. Look how beautiful. So Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, if I am given a choice between two, what is Allah subhanahu, meaning his command, his directive, and the other than Allah, because I will always choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he took the path that he did, he was doing it sincerely. He believed he was doing this with guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like Hafiz ibn Hazm said, he was. But not to a greater degree than Ali. They were both correct. You know, nobody says he was wrong. But they ended up on the battlefield. And the beautiful way to wrap up, Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh, he said something very interesting. Somebody asked him about these civil wars. And Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh, he said, they were there, they knew, they had all the details. We were not there, we don't know, except for scanty details. So what was he saying? What he was saying was, we're looking back, like it's history, you know, like looking back, hindsight is a wonderful thing, like they say in English. If only this and if only that. Do you honestly believe what he's saying, putting it simply, that the Sahaba would go on a path in which they're disobeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Impossible. Right? So note, we believe they were both correct, and this is what the Prophet himself testified to. The only ones who deviated were the Khawarij. And they were dealt by the ones who were more upon truth. The Prophet said in Sahih Muslim, and that was of course Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So again, these are important clarifications with regards to the matter at Siffin. And there's other details, but we will mention that in the following sessions. So the reason I'm going through this at some length is because Shaitan will put doubts into your heart. And sometimes you're shy to ask. You know, you might not even ask. But what did Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah say, rahmatullah alayhi? Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, said in Majmu Fatawa, and he was commenting upon Surah Asr. So what are the conditions of success which Allah Ta'ala enumerates in Surah Asr? So he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, by time, or by the epoch, by the era, wal asr, man is in loss. Then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Except those who believe. So the first condition for success, you have to have iman. Then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who do righteous deeds. So you must have iman, correct belief, and you must do righteous, pure deeds. Then what does he say? The third component of success. وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ, you exhort, you push each other to truth. And the final component of success, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ, and you push, you exhort each other to patience. So Allah Ta'ala mentions in this very short surah, four conditions for those who are successful. Iman, righteous deeds, you push one another to truth, and you push one another to patience. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah looked at the third of the fourth qualities. The third quality Allah Ta'ala says for your success is you push one another to truth. He goes into length into explaining why this is. So Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said, because truth destroys doubt. Truth destroys doubt. If you allow doubt to fester, it's a spiritual cancer. It'll kill you. So look how beautiful. How does cancer kill a person? It starts off very small, you know, undetected. And they even give it stages. Stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. And they go, stage 4 is after that you're dead. Why have they given it these different stages? Because if it's caught early, you can deal with it more easily. If it takes root, it's more difficult to deal with it. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said, this is doubt. If you let it take root, it will destroy you. You'll end up saying blasphemous things. You might even lose your iman. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ, you push one another to truth. So a person was giving me an example of that. And you say, when the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ended up on the battlefield, you need to get rid of all doubts. If you just talk about the battles and you don't answer these questions, Shaitan's leaving doubts and they'll fester. And eventually you'll deviate. So this is why it's so important to go. And this is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu, in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, doubt leads to kufr. Doubt leads to unbelief. And I think about that. You know, and that's why shyness is beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith says, he was more shyer than a virgin in her tent. But, that's in Bukhari and Muslim, but shyness stopping you from learning your deen is from shaitan. Some people are shy to ask because it's not a good quality. When it comes to your deen, you need to ask. Something's bugging you. You know, and you should encourage. You know, like the shuyukh encourage. Because look, if anything's causing you, you know, you've got doubts, please ask. And sometimes you ask, and another person thinks, thank God he asked, that's the doubt I had. So again, note here, this is why I'm going through all these questions. So many Muslims lost their lives. How can that be justified? Bukhari, a Muslim hadith, condemns both sides, apparently. Have I missed something? Yes, you have. But has Ali lost all his energy on the battlefield against the Muslims? Should I feel pity for him? Why are you feeling pity for him? For he's going to general for those. Yeah, but he was fighting Muslims. He goes, that's a greater jihad than against the unbelievers. Hey, right? And then you go into all this and eventually they go, oh yeah, let's go to Muawiyah then. Why did Muawiyah fight Ali? Right? And then you go, well, are you saying that he's responsible for the bloodshed? Well, who else, if not him? Then you quote the hadith. Because he narrates the hadith that anybody who kills a believer purposely is going to hell. God's not going to forgive him. And he's took that path. Meaning you misunderstood something. Right? So again, note, This is why I'm mentioning these reports. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من شان الجن سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم